Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien.
Hello and welcome to Level Up Human, the live podcast show about making humans harder, faster and better, and not just because Daft Punk suggested it. We're coming today from the Green Man Festival, where nearly all the humans, myself included, could be greatly improved with a wash. Which, to be honest, we've had because it's been raining non-stop, if nothing else. I'm joined by a wonderful panel. Today, on my left, we have Rosie Willoughby. Please introduce yourself, Rosie.
Yes, Rosie Willoughby, but Willoughby, if you like, the more fancy version. Yes, hello. I am a London-based comedian, broadcaster and writer, and I have been here performing my comedy show, Is Monogamy Dead?
Am I right? We have Susie Gage.
Hello, yes, I am Susie Gage. I am a genetic epidemiologist and psychologist, and I'm interested in drug use and mental health from a research perspective.
Epidemiology,
not the study of skin, which three people have asked me this weekend, but actually it's a sort of population health, so from epidemic rather than epidermis.
Ah, cool. And finally, Jim Bell.
Hello, everyone. My name's Jim Bell. I am from the University of Birmingham. We've had a stall here in Einstein's garden, and I have a worrying like of spiders.
And, of course, also the wonderful audience here at the Green Man Festival. Please welcome everyone. All right. So to get the ball rolling, each of our panel have brought along a new story about some human enhancement. How about you, Rosie? What's caught your eye?
It was a story that was out earlier this year. And being a gay woman myself, I was really interested to see that same-sex parents will apparently, within about 2 years, be able to have a baby that is genetically both theirs. There are some researchers at Cambridge University who found a way of creating egg and sperm cells from skin cells. And this does even though obviously, you know, it's perhaps great on an equality front, I'm slightly worried about it because I don't know if you know that men often go for a woman who's slightly shorter, women go for a man who's taller, and that has always evened out in heterosexual relationships. But in the gay world, these desires that men and women have for a taller or shorter partner actually carry over. So when gay couples can have their own children, actually runaway evolutionary theory will mean that lesbians will evolve and get taller and taller and taller and taller, and gay men will of course get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until it will be very difficult for us all to live in the same society. It will all be running away going, oh, the lesbians are coming. Run away, they're going to crush us with their giant Dr. Martin boots. Pick up that little teeny tiny gay man. You can't run very fast with those tiny legs. So I'm a bit nervous about this future of giant lesbians and tiny gay men, but quite excited about the fact that myself and my partner could have our own child, because it's always strange, you know, when gay couples I know have a baby and it's biologically one of theirs, even though of course both of them feel bonded to it. It's this strange thing.
Like, so if you're in this situation, and it's wonderful that this, like, because choice is awesome, that's lovely, we can choose anything.
Yeah.
Like this. Would you rather be the mum or the dad in this situation? Because one is still going to have to carry the baby and one's going to have to knit the material.
Yes, that is true, isn't it? And if they had... Yeah.
Have you any preference?
Laziness every time. I mean, women, would you choose it? Would you choose to carry the baby? Yeah, this woman's like, no, absolutely no. So, yeah.
Although the issue being standing up for the being a dad and having to witness the giving birth process, you're not like drugs. Whereas if you're giving birth, someone comes along and gives you free drugs. Whereas I didn't get given any drugs.
Again, this is the Green Man Festival. You never know. Just go out looking hopeful.
I could have come here.
Yeah. Mm.
Not the ideal place for hygienic childbirth, now I think of it. But all the same. All right, Jim, what about you? Has anything caught your eye?
It has indeed. I'm just make this work, because the story that caught my eye was super sniffing ants smell things humans can't. But no, it was just a story from the University of California where they found that the smell abilities of ants are in fact superior to the smelling abilities of humans. As far as I'm aware, human smelling ability is fairly limited anyway, but I guess being usurped by a thing with no backbone and only made of a few cells is possibly a bit humiliating for us. But they tested how they reacted to different odours, which at various points in this article they referred to as either hydrocarbons or body odour. So I think they were just getting loads of sweat and seeing if they could get ants to figure out which person's sweat was which. And apparently they can.
Oh.
So that's a thing.
That's brilliant. I'd like improved sense. I used to have a horrendous sense of smell until a few months ago.
You turned into an ant.
Oh no, it gets even worse because I was...
Ant-Man.
It was in the middle of the night. I was going to give my wife like a little peck on the cheek in our sleep, and she headbutted me. It broke my nose. It was an almighty crunch. And then, like the next day in the shower, what I can only describe as a horrible blood red slug shot from my nose. And since then, I've got an incredible sense of smell. It's awesome.
Oh, so you would recommend your partner headbutting you?
Well, it's going to happen sooner or later in my case anyway. But,
yes.
But it also means
I don't know you. I don't know why I said yes.
I live in London now, and I know that London smells really, really bad.
Oh, yeah,
so it's not been the most useful thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't want a heightened sense of smell because I have this... Whenever I'm quite hungover, I always get a heightened sense of smell, and it's not nice. There are things that normally wouldn't bother me suddenly become, I have to be in a different room to another person or a type of food. But the worst is Red Bull. I just have to be very, very far away from Red Bull, and it's quite debilitating, like on top of a hangover, to have to just avoid all smells. It's quite challenging. So I'm dead against heightened sense of smell.
We're going to have to set up an experiment to see whether it is being headbutted in the nose, just in general, whether your wife headbutting people in the nose.
She's available is the for thing rental to headbutt people, if that's what you're after.
It's for science, so I think we need to do it.
Cool.
We can set something up after the show.
After you, then.
All right. Yeah. Well, those are the suggestions. Give them a big round of applause. Thank you. So, now we get down to the nitty and gritty. Each of our panellists have brought along a suggestion for how they are going to improve the human conditions and humans themselves. Let's kick off with you, Rosie.
Oh. Well, I think because I've, as I mentioned, I'm doing this show, Is Monogamy Dead? I've been looking at different relationship patterns and structures. And the whole reason I looked into that was how serially monogamous a lot of my friends were and going through the pain of a breakup or divorce every few years. And I started talking to a lot of people who are polyamorous and honestly negotiating multiple relationships rather than a lot of the monogamous couples I know who were having affairs and there was a lot of deceit involved. And I think if we could, society could evolve to negotiate that honestly. What I witnessed and found through genuine sort of research and statistical data was that the people who were successfully negotiating honest open relationships were having a primary partnership that lasted for a longer time. And I see that as a way of in the future having a more stable society rather than what I'm witnessing, where very serially monogamous people are breaking up every few years, which, you know, arguably, you know, is not as much fun or good for one's emotional well-being as having a stable central partnership, however you do that. And it seems, certainly among my peer group, that we're less able to do that than, say, my parents were in the traditional way.
Do you think can you give us a practical guide towards such relationships if this is something which is beneficial? Because surely everybody being themselves is what we're after, ideally.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is absolute honesty. And ultimately, that is the bottom line. And choices and discussion and communication in relationships, you know, and I think they were the big things that came up. But I do think that we've sort of become, just recently, much, much more judgmental of affairs and making an assumption that an affair is an automatic end to a relationship, rather than a lot of people may have written recently, in fact, about how an affair could be a really good trigger for actually communicating and then working on that central primary partnership.
It doesn't make a very good excuse. You can just say, well, I slapped over to communicate with you. It's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, really? Yeah. So I think there's a lot of... I've really heard some, you know, a lot of people making alternative relationship structures work, and I found that really fascinating and really empowering. And absolutely, I think honesty is the key word, however you then want to structure your relationship and whatever you feel your boundaries are. I mean, obviously, in my show, I did a whole survey where I asked things like what counts as infidelity, and for some people that was very much along emotional lines rather than actually physical lines. So
cool.
It's all very interesting stuff.
So our first pitch from Rosie is ways of maintaining all sorts of relationships.
Yeah, we can say that, yeah.
All right. What do you think, Susie? How would you improve humans?
So what I'm sort of going to take spider goats and run with them. Not literally, although that would be amazing.
Run with the silk.
So not so much about how we can make humans better. So how we can improve medicine. And the great thing about this... you can't farm spiders, which Jim can probably tell us why, but I think they're a bit bitey to each other.
You end up with one big fat spider, this is the problem.
Yeah.
You start with 20 and then...
Yeah. But goats, pretty good for farming. So you can get this spider silk out of the goat's milk, and this is an incredibly strong and durable material, but also it's biological material. So the reason that I'm thinking it might be useful for human enhancement is because you can use it to sort of mend ligaments and that kind of thing. The body's much less likely to reject something that's sort of biological in nature than man-made fibres.
So silk milk, a good one.
So of things like the silk that you can get from spider goats that you can then put in people without the body rejecting them. There's the potential for 3D printing of pills potentially in the future, where you'll be able to, if you're ill, you'll be able to find out online what's wrong with you, and then you can just like make this medicine in your front room even. Oh. I mean, we're quite a long way from that at the moment, but that would be something that could revolutionise health and that kind of thing. So although it's not sort of helping humans to begin with, it's helping them to thrive as best that they can.
So, this is amazing. Has this already happened? Have people already printed pills?
Well, that was another news article that I brought with me, actually. Yeah, so there've been people doing it, but it's a long way from being able to be done in your front room.
Yeah.
But the technology is sort of very much on the way.
Because that must be particularly amazing for like remote areas or something, being able to email paracetamol.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, I mean, there's the potential to print whole organs and that sort of thing if you have the right sort of materials to create them from.
Wow. Okay. So from Susie, we have printer pill.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What about you, Jim?
So in the vein of Susie, I'm going to run with the ants rather than the spider goats. They're slower, so it's easier for me to do that. I think we can learn a lot from the ants, and we can incorporate a lot of stuff that the ants do to make humans much, much better, not so bad at messing everything up, which kind of seems to be the theme of what humans do. We're very good at messing stuff up in a big way, on a big scale. And kind of the difference I see is that on an individual scale, ants are really, really stupid. They don't have a proper brain. They've got groups of cells throughout their body called ganglia. But they can make individual decisions, and those individual decisions can mean they can forage really effectively. They can find a new nest site. They can do loads of really complicated behaviors, like they can farm aphids. They can cut leaves and grow mold on them in their nests. They can raid other ants' nests for slaves. They can do all sorts of crazy things. And they don't mess up the environment that they're in. They're a kind of a working part of the ecosystem. They don't leave kind of piles of nuclear waste in places. They don't decide that fracking is a brilliant idea, for example. So individually stupid, collectively very clever. So my theory is actually if you make humans individually much more stupid, then we can make much cleverer collective decisions. So we can go, hey, climate change, this is a problem, we should sort it out. And everyone goes, yeah, fair enough.
I'm interested in this, Jim, because I think this is an experiment which is happening, again, right here at a festival right now. There's been a lot of people making themselves a bit more stupid. Has anything been accomplished collectively over the weekend? We should ask our audience. Has anybody actually managed to do anything while they're here?
Yay.
You have had fun. That's the voice of reason, actually. Yeah, it might be more fun being ants. Yeah, we've made music and watched music.
We're slightly drier now we're indoors.
Is that why you're here? But how would the country, or any country, be governed in this case if any individual is too stupid to be prime minister?
Again,
I mean, not that.
Looking at the evidence, obviously, from humans, there's... When it comes to ants, they don't need to be governed because they're self-governing.
Okay,
so they're self-governing systems whereby each individual making a decision has an effect on the group as a whole. So if they want to make, move nests, for example, not one ant, so it's not like the queen goes, today we shall move nests, subjects, off we go. They just take, each ant takes little decisions, and as a group, they then find the optimal place that they need to be. So you don't need governing.
See, I like that, because a lot of people do seem to think it's a misconception about ants, isn't it, that the queen is in charge.
Yeah.
When she's actually just a reproductive organ.
Yeah.
So can we take this one step forward and just make our queen our reproductive organ?
Oh, God.
Lizzie would be busy, and she'd be well worth the tax subsidy if she was doing that.
It would provide more value for the royal family.
Can we actually make that one, like an additional pitch from you?
89.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Someone from our audience just showed she's 89. I think there's still some good years in her.
We could widen it out to the royals in general because they don't do much, so.
Yeah, and they're. Well, actually, no, I don't know about this anymore after the fuss of the last couple of royal births.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Although, if every time we had a day off, I'm up for that.
Okay, so we have stupider individually, better as a society. Okay, that's perfect. So, ladies and gents, that's our panel's pitches. It's going to be over to you. And I first of all heard a great suggestion from John Chase. Is he here right now?
Yeah.
John, do you want to come up on stage and use our mic here?
It's like a panto.
I didn't get that. Do you mind sharing with Rosie here?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So, John, what was your suggestion? How are you going to make humans better?
I had this idea. Do you know sometimes when you're trying to talk to someone and it's like, I just don't get what you're saying. I don't get it. And I was like, I wish I could just go, do you get it now? Yeah. And they're like, yeah. So I thought, could there be some way of getting a chip in the brain that you could transmit your feelings, like, so people can empathize if you actually, so they're not just saying, I know how you're feeling. It's like, no, you don't. It's like, no, I know how you feel.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Do you know what I mean? An empathy chip. Imagine, like, diplomats and everything, world wars, it's coming head to head. Oh, the war has been stopped. Everyone wants to get on now and be friends. The empathy chip.
An empathy chip. Can I plumb you for some answers here? So,
yeah.
If you're gonna... I suppose, first of all, because if it just involves you going up and touching someone, as you're suggesting, oh, I don't know if I want people giving me their emotions. It's been close, man.
I know how you feel.
I think the touch was more figurative. It could be more like putting your passcode. Yeah. Please put in the three numbers. Has that person got the same three numbers? Yep. Okay, you may now transmit empathy.
Okay.
So basically Bluetooth.
Well, yeah.
Bluetooth empathy.
Unless it gets hacked, well, that's a problem. But we'll pretend that we've got the technology for it not to be hacked.
Can this end up in some kind of downward spiral in that case? Because, you know, I'm feeling really sad, now you're feeling really sad, and that makes me feel really sad. Is it going to just keep going down in a perpetual lip of depression?
Oh, no. You just find the nearest happy person.
Is that what
we did? Yeah. We do have somebody in our audience who's been having a lot of fun, it seems, and now everybody's going to be touching them before they leave the tent. We apologise in advance, and our lawyers apologise to us too.
Wasn't my fault.
All right, so we have an empathy chip. Thank you, John. We have had lots of other suggestions from our audience. They've written them down. Has anyone grabbed you, Susie?
Well, someone's written self-healing on this, which is sort of similar to what I was talking about as well. Ish. Although if it's at self-healing and your body just mends itself without even the need for 3D printing, then all the better. So that was Kirsten's idea. And someone else has written, back's good for sitting, which, yeah, I am feeling that after three nights in a tent very much.
Yeah, back seems to be the worst of all organs. It seems to be one of those things that everybody gets hurt sometimes.
Isn't it because we evolved from walking on all fours?
Yeah.
Is that a myth or is that... I think that's real.
At least partly true. It might be a bit more complicated. You do get, there's a special organ that baboons have, and they call it I think it's an ichthyal callosity, and it's basically...
Sounds painful.
It does, doesn't it? But it's comfy. It's basically a kind of bum cushion, which is permanently attached to them. It's a piece of anatomy specifically designed for just having a sit down.
Can we please add that to the list? That's my new favourite.
If there was a stall selling those right now, that'd be doing amazingly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I love that. Okay, butt cushion. Ichthyal callosity sounded better, but butt cushion is what we're going for.
Yeah, it's more catchy.
And
yeah.
There was self-healing there, okay. Jim, has anything got your eye?
Well, the first thing I noticed, I think you wrote these, didn't you?
No, I wrote them down because we
ran... No, as in, yeah, you wrote them down. So you need to evolve better handwriting.
Yeah, definitely.
Evolve to be thinner and taller for ease of stacking.
Sam,
which I think is a solution to the kind of upcoming population crisis. I like that one. And the other good one was be able to have energy enough. What does it say?
Actually, can we stick to this one first of all right. For a second? Because let's give these the time that they deserve.
Oh, sorry.
Our audience came up with these with like minutes of thought, so we have to really go for this. Evolving to be thinner and taller. Is that a generally good thing?
Would we be the same volume? Because otherwise the stacking thing doesn't...
Oh, but at least overall. The sky is really high up there.
We should just evolve to be tessellations so that we all fit together in a space. That would be better than being taller and thinner. Surely being smaller and thinner would actually be better
exactly.
For ease of stacking.
Yeah.
So, Sam, we'd like to modify your suggestion just to make us all hexagon-shaped. For ease of stacking. Although, again, this is going to add up for your polyandry,
like,
isn't it?
Tetris shapes, and then someone can have real fun doing it.
I love that. I said that could be really good for more complicated relationships as well.
Indeed,
everyone can stack together like this.
Oh no, I need an L shape right now.
Does everyone have to go do 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 do,
and it'll get faster and faster.
That's like a virus. You started doing that, and half the audience were humming along.
Do 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 do.
What about you? Was there anything catchy?
Well, does that say walk away?
Oh, run way faster.
Oh, run way faster.
Fly or teleport.
Or fly or teleport. And I definitely think flying or teleporting. I mean, when I was a child, I did actually ask my mum when my wings were going to grow. So I've definitely been thinking about wanting to fly for many, many years. And I think there was another one you had where someone had mentioned flying. So that is definitely seems to be on the agenda. And I'm definitely up for that one. But teleporting would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, that'd be very cool. To be able to teleport back home to my nice warm bed.
nobody would camp ever, surely.
Well, you wouldn't have to, would you? I also thought a nice thing about camping would be if you could evolve the perfect airbed partner who would just be heavier than you, just enough to squish all the air into your side, to make it really comfy.
I really quite like this. Jim, you're a zoologist of kinds. You reckon...
Well, see, my zoology brain was thinking, well, what are the rules here with flying?
That was exactly what I was going to ask you. Come on.
The rules.
Because, I mean, is it hard work?
You and your
I'm thinking flying is hard work. It's like running, but even more so. So is it going to be really tiring having to fly? You're like, oh, I've been flying for hours. I'm knackered, man. And, like, if you can only run not very fast, can you only fly not very fast?
Yeah. How fast
can a human fly? These are key questions that we need to know.
A sort of services, you know, where you can stop and have a coffee?
Airbnb.
I suppose there's always going to be...
Or is it going to be the kind of thing that recently retired people take up as a hobby, like cycling or running, and sort of get all the kit and go flying on a Sunday morning?
That's an expensive hobby, as human flight from that. This is a good question, isn't it? Because if you think about the birds, for example, or bats and things, they've undergone losses. They have lost things in order to enable them to be able to fly. So we're going to have to make humans going to be much, much smaller, perhaps, or
thinner
lighter.
Bones, lighter bones.
Yeah.
Getting rid of bones. Teeth is one of the most important ones for birds.
Teeth?
So what was that?
We have to lose your arms.
Actually, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Are we going to go all angelic and have big extra ones poking our backs? This is going to show this is a religious upbringing. Do you know seraphim? Because they supposedly had six pairs of wings.
Wow.
They're kind of like the Gillette razor of angels. It's just add an extra pair and it keeps getting better and better. How would you suggest?
I think it'd be good to go bats and have sort of wings, but wings that are arms, so we'd still have like opposable thumbs and fingers on the end of our wings.
On the end of our wings, why not?
So flappy, massive webbed fingers.
Flappy, massive webbed arms,
Which kind of what a lot of frogs have. There's lots and lots of frogs which can fly, or when I say fly, it means fall without dying, basically. They glide slowly
gliders,
down.
Gliders, aren't they,
That'd be less work. So maybe just falling without dying.
we've really, really scaled down this original vision.
Because you wouldn't really get anywhere except down.
If we're going to go frog-like, then let's go the whole
what, really
frog.
Long
the whole frog hog.
I would like that very much.
Because gas exchange in the skin, so we can swim underwater, breathing underwater.
See, that would be cool, wouldn't it? I would love to.
And that's where the falling without dying thing would come in really useful.
I used to wonder this myself, because personally, whenever, you know, I've often thought if I could be reincarnated, I'd always come back as a duck. Because a duck is kind of like the all-terrain animal. Like, it can fly, it can swim, it can sort of waddle.
None of those well, though. It's kind of... It's poor at them all, but it can do them.
Some people are, you know, like, I'm getting old and fatter. I'm going to be waddling soon. I can feel it happening. Jim, there's another one caught your eye there. Tell us more about it.
So, Sinead suggested to us be able to have enough energy through the day without need of coffee.
I've got some really bad news here. You don't need caffeine. The only reason that caffeine seems to make you feel more alert is because you're addicted to caffeine and it's bringing you out of withdrawal overnight. That's why a cup of coffee in the morning makes you feel more alert. It's because you had coffee yesterday and the day before. If you've never had coffee, then a cup of coffee makes you absolutely no more alert than a glass of water. Sorry.
And as a non-coffee drinker, it tastes hideous.
I feel kind of sad now. I love coffee.
That's fine. It's fine.
It's okay. We've all got our addictions.
Have we? What's your...
Well...
That's a bit confessional.
Well, I think we have, haven't we?
Yeah, probably. Is anyone here hooked on coffee? This is somebody said, woo!
I think chocolate for me. I'm sure there must be others.
You study this
also
stuff,
contains
Susie.
Caffeine.
Well, exactly, but I...
And
yeah.
Sugar.
This might sound like a strange question, Susie. What is the best addiction?
Oh, God.
And
well,
remember, Susie, this is being recorded for the internet.
I know. So one of the things that we've been thinking about a lot at work where I work is that, is it possible to have a harmless addiction? Is addiction without harm even possible? So this is sort of getting a bit philosophical now, but... if you are addicted to something and it's sort of you're changing your behaviour around this substance, then even if it's causing you no sort of physical harm, arguably no mental harm, if it's making you spend your money on it or that kind of thing, is that okay? So I don't have an answer for your question. I have another question. Sorry.
Do you have an opinion?
Well, I don't have that. I have
lots of
yeah, kind of. I think... it sort of depends on how you became addicted and sort of where your money is going and that kind of thing as to whether sort of how strongly I feel positively or negatively about addiction.
So maybe if we can afford our addictions and we can afford our coffee, you and me, madam, we're doing okay. I can't afford the coffee in some places, though.
London.
Yeah, more or less. We've got another live suggestion. Great.
I was just going to say, can we add an extra button on John's chip that he suggested earlier where we can just get rid of addictions? Just an addiction deleter.
Addiction deleter?
Yeah.
Are you happy with that, John? Cool.
We found that in.
Empathy chip with an addiction deletion button. People are working on that. I know there is some stuff to try and stop. It's for heroin. So people will not feel the high if they take heroin, if they're taking this sort of drug?
There's a few drugs for that sort of... So there's something like that for heroin, which I think is useful if someone's had an overdose. It's a similarly shaped molecule that binds to the receptors, sort of, but doesn't have the effect that heroin has, so it sort of blocks the heroin from binding. But they're also looking into that for tobacco addiction as well. So a pill that makes tobacco less... well. Stops you from absorbing the nicotine so much. I think that's how it works. Sorry, I'm looking because there's my colleagues in the crowd who know much better than me about this.
But where would it end? Because would we end up trying to control, stopping us feeling the good things like love and stuff? Like, because people are love addicts or sex addicts, would we control those good feelings?
It has to be sort of people seeking out a treatment for something like smoking that's really, really
dangerous.
People do seek out
those treatments, don't they?
This might sound left field, but it's perhaps one of the answers for this that rather than fighting drugs, we should be building really, really good drugs. Like things that people want to take but have got no side effects and aren't going to get anybody addicted. So they would choose, I want this now, and they make the same choice tomorrow rather than losing their freedom. Should we be doing research into making really good legalized drugs?
People are walking out at this.
Going off to get some, you see.
Yeah, that's it.
Separating the pleasure and the addiction is probably very difficult, I would say.
I think very, very difficult. Mm. Very, very slippery slope.
So because if you enjoyed doing it, then that would make you want to do it again, and that's sort of the beginning of that.
Yeah, that is the process.
But I'm not addicted to toast, and every time I have toast, I love it.
Are you sure you're not addicted?
Yeah, I'd say it's not an addiction. Like, there must be some compulsions. There's things that we never tire of biologically.
Then what's that Nutella in your pocket there?
I can neither confirm nor deny that allegation.
I saw a used knife outside as well.
Yeah.
Butter stains on it.
We have another suggestion from the floor.
You have a chip in your tongue which measures everything that you eat, and as soon as you hit the number of calories you need for the day, it just diverts all the food into a recycling bag for easy sort of refuse at the end of the day.
So what we're actually discussing here is a pudding belly, having a separate belly which we can empty. This is fantastic. What do you think, team?
This is actually very similar to the one I've got in front of me here, which it says automatic calorie cancelling so that you can drink as much beer and scoff as many kebabs as required, but you won't. You can have a hangover belly-free, apparently.
Oh, yeah, actually, on this one here, it said faster metabolism so we could eat all the cake as well. Actually, all the cake.
I think everyone must have been really hungry when they wrote this.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have had a lot of fantastic suggestions, so I'm going to read out each of them to you. You're going to have to scream and shout as loud as you want to vote. Whichever suggestion we take from this will go forward back to our boffins, and they will try and make that next human that extra bit more special from your ideas. So first of all, we had develop ways of maintaining all sorts of relationships. That was one really horny person.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to meet up with that person after this.
This is not like a dating...
Why not?
Good point. Why not? Multitasking. We also then had from Susie, print a pill.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Votes for printable. We had then from Jim, we had stupider individually, better collectively.
Oh.
Yeah.
Optimistic.
Thanks,
I suppose you wouldn't just want to have one person voting for that, really, would you? That'd be no good at all.
I just would have done royals for that one. Maybe I do those.
We were going to get Lizzie to make all the babies for us.
Who thinks that Elizabeth II should be the all-mother producing all children from now on? We had an empathy chip with the addition of addiction deletion. I think that one's in the lead so far. We had organic butt cushion.
Yeah, butt cushion.
I'm still down with the butt cushion.
Yeah, the panel are down with the butt.
Our panel loves
it. It's because these chairs aren't very comfortable. Yeah, yeah.
Then we had human flight in its various forms.
Yay!
Can we check
that was
even,
over this side?
Even if it makes us look like frogs?
I'm more for it if it makes us look like frogs.
Yeah.
We had the pudding belly. I think that one might currently be in the lead. I can't decide. Rachel, can you arbitrate for us? Ladies and gentlemen, I think you have voted for the pudding belly. Yes. We have been talking about one for a long time. It's about time we go and get one. We'll take that off to our boffins. Thank you ever so much. Have a really good time at the rest of your festival.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.